Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to Mavericks Comic Roundup. It's 10 o'clock on Friday night, and Mavericks Comic Roundup is live. Boy, did I botch that entrance. My name is Maverick. Welcome to the show, the only podcast hosted by a masked wrestling cowboy hero. I do thank you for tuning in here on our special Halloween-themed show. For the entire hour, we're going to be talking about Halloween comics. We've got a special guest, John Cannon, calling in, and we are going to talk Halloween all night long, with the exception of a little bit of news that's not related to Halloween per se, but we are going to be covering a lot of Halloween tonight, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Let's go right into the news this week. Of course, Saturday is Halloween Comic Fest. What Halloween Comic Fest is, if you're familiar with Free Comic Book Day, as many, many people are, Hollywood Comic Fest is a Halloween equivalent sponsored event around the country with participating comic stores will be having a Free Comic Book Day type event. They have handouts, free comics that they will be giving away, and some will be hosting costume contests. There's going to be sales, cosplay events, all kinds of things related to it. It's just a fun way to get out and have some Halloween fun in the comic book world. All kinds of things happening all around. Check your local comic book store if you're interested in taking part. See if they're involved. If not, you can find one close by, hopefully. There's a long list of comics that are coming out that day as well. I have a list here. I'll go through them relatively quickly. We've got Action Lab Presents, Adventures of the Aspen Universe, Afterlife with Archie Season 2. That's a very Halloween-type book dealing with the Archie cast that we know, Archie, Jughead, Betty, and Veronica, as, well, zombies. Black Eyed Kids number 1 from Aftershock Comics, Darth Vader, Dr. Aphra number 1. Now, this could be a big deal because Dr. Aphra was just announced as a spinoff of the Darth Vader series. We've talked about that. You're going to be able to get number one for free before it hits newsstands for free because it's Dr. Aphra number one hasn't hit the stands yet. So you'll be able to get that comic for free at Halloween Comic Fest before the rest of the world, before it goes on sale to the rest of the world. DC Superhero Girls number 1, that's a reprint of a collected edition featuring the very popular superhero girls. Evil Dead 2 number 1, Dawn number 1, Harrow County number 1, Haunted Mansion number 1 from Marvel Comics, My Little Pony, The Haunted Dungeon, Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, the over-the-top reimagining of the Scooby-Doo universe from DC, Spidey number 1, Three Stooges Halloween Hullabaloo number 1, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, You Choose the Story, Zombie Tramp, Doll-Faced Witch Hunter. Now that sounds like a Halloween comic if I've ever heard one. Archie's Madhouse, and these are mini comics now that are coming out. There's a list of those as well you might be able to get. Some of these were available for you to order at your comic store that you can actually hand out yourself if you're so interested. That's Archie's Madhouse, Boom Box Halloween from Boom Studios, emphasis on the O's there. Grumpy Cat Halloween, Johnny Boo, which is a great, great young readers comic book out there. Little Tales Halloween, Lunch Witch 2 from Paper Cuts, Mickey's Inferno from Paper Cuts, Pokemon Pocket Comics XY, Tim Burton Nightmare Before Christmas manga, and Zombie Camp. So there's some fun things out there. A little bit of stuff for everybody. Not every comic book store will be participating in Halloween Comic Fest. Hopefully yours is. Hopefully you'll be able to get out there, get some cool free comics, and maybe take part in some of the holiday fun. Moving on in the news, the Deadpool movie sequel is now going to need a new director. Former director Tim Miller and the star producer of the Deadpool movie, Ryan Reynolds, seems to be having a different set of ideas about the direction of the film, the casting, the budget, and pretty much everything, it sounds like. They just couldn't agree on the tone of the movie, who should be playing what characters, and a lot more. There's been a lot of rumors about who might take the place directing the film, but as of yet, nothing has been decided. In other comic book-related movie news, The Incredibles 2 has a new release date. The Incredibles was a very popular Disney Pixar film about a family of superheroes. It branched off into a really fun and successful comic series for a while. They've also done various reprints and comic stories of the movie itself. That movie is now going to hit theaters June 15th, 2018. I'm definitely looking forward to that. I really enjoyed the first Incredibles, so I'm counting down the days for that as well. Over in DC Comics, Batman, Black Canary, and the original old-school version of Lobo will be joining the upcoming Justice League of America relaunch. Now, this is part of the Rebirth initiative from DC Comics, getting a kind of a relaunch to their stuff going on there. There is a Justice League book, which features the main characters you would associate with the Justice League, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Cyborg. I think I covered them all. But this is a bit of a different book. It's going to be called Justice League of America. It's going to run at the same time as Justice League, and the rest of the team, well, Batman looks like he's going to be the leader. He's got Black Canary, and we're going to have Killer Frost, the Atom, Vixen, and the Ray have all been announced already for that book. So it's a bit of an odd mishmash of characters. The big news, however, was Lobo, and the Lobo on the cover looks to be the original popular version of Lobo several years ago in the New 52. They tried to relaunch Lobo, and a lot of people called him the emo Lobo. They made fun of his look. He was thinner. He had just a weird, weird look to him. And a lot of fans didn't like that. So it looks like they've gone back to what the fans are hoping for, Lobo and Batman on the same comic book team. That's definitely something I want to take a look at. Definitely lots of room for drama there to see how Lobo's going to exist on a team, and especially a team with Batman. So that is pretty much the short end of it. Not a lot of news this week. We've had two big, big weeks of stuff coming out of New York Comic Con and whatnot, and all the big news this revolves around Halloween Comic Fest and some other things coming up. Hopefully next week we'll have a lot more news. Right now we are going to go to our first set of commercial breaks, and when we come back, we're going to welcome our guest, John Cannon, to the show.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause. www.caseyscalls.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right. Welcome back to Mavericks Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network. And I do thank you for tuning in. I am the Maverick, and this is our Halloween special. We are talking Halloween comics, Halloween and horror comics, all hour long. In a few moments, my guest, John Cannon, will be calling in. He is a very, very interesting individual. We've been friends a long time from our days as pro wrestlers. He's also a paranormal investigator. He was previously the co-host of an internet television show called Late Night at the Horror Hotel, and he has a very impressive collection of old-school horror comics, and he's going to come on, and we're going to talk Halloween with John Cannon in just a few minutes. He's calling in soon. I'm a little ahead of the schedule on the paper tonight, so hi. These things happen on live radio, I suppose. So, getting into the Halloween spirit. I mentioned earlier Halloween Comic Fest, and I would be remiss if I did not mention one of the sponsors of our network, Ontario Street Comics, will indeed be having a Halloween Comic Fest event. They are tomorrow from 10 to 8, they are going to be having its 5th annual Halloween Comic Fest. They are planning a lot of great events, including, their Facebook, it doesn't say, they're going to have the free comics, of course. They are going to have the Black Beauty from the Green Hornet at there, so you can take pictures with and check out. He's having cosplayers at the event. He's got, let's see what else he's got. Oh, and of course, Rita Marie Ragney's table will be there, and she will be selling her very cool comic book related art. the daughter of the Totally Driven Network founder, Bay Ratney, will be on hand at Ontario Street Comics. So, it does look like our guest is not quite ready to be on the line, so I'm going to segue into something else. Let's break into the Halloween-themed version of the Six Shooter this week. Six comics every week on the Six Shooter. I give you six comics I think you should check out, and I have done a very special Halloween version of the Six Shooter this week. These are six Halloween-themed comics. And what I thought of, originally I was going to give you six comics that I specifically think are great, but then I wanted to mix it up, and I wanted you to get out there and get comics that you can get right now. So some of these aren't my all-time favorites. Some of them are. I know there's so many out there, so I tried to get some that would catch your attention. And so for the Six Shooter Halloween edition version one, because hopefully we'll be doing this for many years to come, my first pick for the Six Shooter this week is Batman Haunted Night. And this is one of my favorite reads. I go back and check it out almost every Halloween, and it's a collected edition of one-shots that were put out in the 90s, Legends of the Dark Knight Halloween specials. And they were all written by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. And they're really, really awesome. And the popularity, these three one-shots were so popular, it led into a 13-issue miniseries called The Long Halloween and a sequel to that called Dark Victory. And all of those were really well received, but it all started with these Haunted Night one-shots. And they deal with Batman, Halloween time. One of them, one that always sticks out in my mind, is they did a version of the Christmas Carol done in Halloween with Batman's robes, which was a lot of fun. So check this book out. It's one of my favorite Halloween books, probably my favorite Halloween book if I had to pick one. A lot of fun. And that's Batman Haunted Night from DC Comics. My second pick on the Six Shooter this week is a new comic. And it came out this week, and that's kind of why I included it on the list. It was something different. It's not something I would normally, and it wasn't even on my first three versions of this list this week. But somebody wanted me to check it out. It's kind of fun, and if you're looking for something, it's on shelves now, so you should be able to hunt it down. And it's called Three Stooges of the Franken-Stooge. And it's a comedy book from American Mythology Productions. It's several horror-themed shorts. It includes a reprint of a classic Three Stooges comic book title, some coloring pages, behind-the-scenes information. You get a lot chucked into one comic. And if you're looking for something a little lighter, not necessarily horror, if you're a Three Stooges fan, because there's still a lot of Three Stooges fans out there, and it was something different and neat, and check it out this week. My number three book for our Halloween Six Shooter is a bit of a Halloween classic, and this is a full-on horror book. And I chose 30 Days of Night. Many of you may have heard about the movie, but the comic came first, and the irony of 30 Days of Night started out as a failed movie pitch. It was turned down by movie studios, and they went back and turned it into a comic book, a graphic novel. And the graphic novel was so well received, it actually ended up becoming a movie again. And the comic, the art is very haunting and very scary, and just a great, great concept. When I first heard the concept, and I'm not a horror comic guy per se, but when I first heard the concept of 30 Days of Night, where it's a small town in Alaska, that is so far north that the sun literally doesn't rise for 30 days at a time. And vampires find this out and attack. And they literally have a 30-day feeding frenzy where they don't have to worry about the sunlight or anything. It's a great book filled with drama. And the movie was okay, but the book was so much better. So check out 30 Days of Night when you got a chance. Looks like my guest is checking in on the line, so I'm going to break there at 3. We'll come back with the other half of my Six Shooter a little later. I believe I do have on the line, is that you, Mr. Cannon?
Why, yes, it is, sir. How are you tonight?
Very good, sir. Welcome to Mavericks Comic Roundup. Happy Halloween!
Yes, happy Halloween to you too. My favorite day of the year.
I had no doubt about that. When I was planning this show at the beginning of the month, I was like, there's only one guy that I can have on for the Halloween episode, and it had to be you. So I'm very glad you were able to call in.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. We were actually I was chasing children around the neighborhood with the chainsaw dressed as a clown, actually.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. And Tommy, too. That's all the rage, it seems, anymore.
It is. You know, everybody else is just trying to copy my style.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and that's completely true, too, because I was in a Halloween store today, and some sick fool had decided to move all of the scary clown stuff to the front of the store. So, Halloween and horror comics. I got to see some of your collection today, sir. You sent me those pictures.
Yeah.
So, how long now? Halloween, has that always been your thing?
It didn't. I mean, when I was a young kid, obviously, the whole thing kind of scared me a bit, but then I became mentally deranged and appreciated it and loved it for what it truly is.
It's definitely freeing when you go mentally insane. Oh, and you've got quite a history with Halloween and horror type related stuff. I remember a while back I was co-hosting an episode of Totally Driven Radio when you called in and you told us all about your paranormal investigating.
Yeah, no, I haven't done that in probably about a year, but I think I'm going to end up getting back into that again a little bit. But I've managed to investigate a lot of different haunted places around the world, Australia, England, Switzerland, Jersey, that's another country, I think.
I'm pretty sure.
And
of
just,
it.
Yeah. And just, and, oh, and England. So I think the coolest place, though, that I've ever actually got to truly experience anything was Gettysburg.
Really?
Yeah.
So all
I ended
the world
up.
Gettysburg was the one?
It really was. That's the one where I ended up ticking off something that I don't know what, but yeah, that was definitely an interesting time. We were there with one of the guides. It was three of us there. It was in the old orphanage. And the story behind that is this woman, Rosa, would take in these children who are orphans of, you know, women of leisure and the soldiers. She thought she was a good Christian fearing woman. Problem is, she would beat, torture, and kill these children. So that was the story with that. There was a pit where she would throw these kids in. It was really nasty. So everybody took a turn with doing the EVPs, or, you know, electric voice phenomena, asking questions of the air, almost a digital Ouija board, if you would really kind of call it that. From there, the one guy asked his series of questions, nothing. Another guy asked his series of questions, nothing. I happened to have a Bible with me. I was like, all right, we'll go toe-to-toe with this one. But I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. I opened up the Bible. Literally the first thing was there was about Jesus taking care of the children. So I started questioning the Spirit's issues and said, you're really this when the Bible says this. And at that point, that's when the chains in the bottom of the basement where we were started shaking. All the equipment started going haywire. It felt like one of those extremely tension-filled rooms where there's just a battle going on. So after I did that, we went upstairs. Well, not really, I'll be honest, not really that quickly. We were just like, all right, well, that was uncomfortable. Let's just go upstairs and kind of see what happens, you know, just leaving the room silent for a bit with cameras running and everything. So we go upstairs. We're about to head outside of the building altogether, probably for about an hour, when they usually have like a psychic follow the groups around there. And the psychic calls the tour guide. and goes, "What did you guys just do?" She goes, "What do you mean?" Well, this woman, Rosa, she goes, "Well, Rosa is extremely upset. She's gnashing her teeth. She's stomping around. She's in a corner, and she refuses to come out for the rest of the night. What did you guys do?" I'm like, well, that's wow. That's kind of creepy. So
yeah,
this
it
woman
is.
Lived all the way in Maryland.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, it was a little bit at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow. So that's just a taste of the paranormal. And you said you haven't done it in a while?
Yeah, probably about a year, year and a half. Only just because of life stuff.
I can completely understand that. That's quite an interesting hobby, though. You're the only person I know that would actually go headlong into a haunted house for fun. So,
I know. I keep on looking for these creepy clowns that are supposed to be stalking the area just so I can talk to one.
See what's going on. That's awesome. So, and prior to that, maybe not prior to that, but another thing you did, and I was a big fan of this. You actually hosted a show for a while, a horror show.
I did Late Night at the Horror Hotel with Rob Dimension and our head puppet, Pigamortis Rex.
Yes. I absolutely loved that show. It was a lot of fun, and it was meant to harken back to the, you know, Dr. Shock and Saturday Night Dead type shows. How did that come about?
Well, and you're 100% correct. It was back to it took all of its, you know, history of all late night horror hosts and just trying to play homage to it and just add in our little twist on it. So I was doing, through Facebook, kind of like creature cooking, because, you know, the whole wrestling gimmick with creature.
right.
And Rob Dimension was like, oh, you know, and Rob Dimension and I were friends. And he said, you know, well, why don't we get together and try and do like some like cooking show / horror hosting thing, movie review. I was like, nah, sounds like fun. And then from there, we started. And then it just kind of grew and grew and grew. And it really just kind of stopped because, again, life stuff gets in the way, unfortunately. And it was definitely a fun time. I met a lot of interesting people. I don't know if you know this, if you actually know who handled the puppet Pigamortis Rex was.
I don't.
Ah, that was another friend of ours. That was actually Big Sal E. Graziano from ECW.
You're kidding.
No, it was great because he's a mountain of a man. Awesome dude.
He really is.
Yes.
I've done a little puppeteering. They tend to put you in a very small little place for that, too. So
I mean, if you go back and watch that, there is – not much room, and there's this ginormous man, literally, just shoved in a corner, operating the puppet.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I didn't even know that. That's so funny.
Yeah, I don't
think
many people actually did know that.
Yeah. Yeah, the show was a lot of fun. I used to watch it all the time, and the interplay was great. So that was definitely a lot of fun. And, of course, you know, we'd be remiss to not talk comic books and Halloween and famous monsters and whatnot. Now, what are your tastes as far as – because there's a lot of different types of horror and horror comics out there. You know, there's the classic movie monsters, your Fin Fang Booms and Draculas, and then there's the gore and the frightening stuff. What tends to
– I would have to say that for me, it always tends to go towards old vintage style. You got your House of Mysteries, you got the Creep Show, you got your Tales from the Crypt, you got weird war stories, you've got the Mystery House, like just any of that type of old style. And that's just really what gets me going.
Okay, cool. So we're kind of kindred spirits but different, because I'm a big Golden Silver Age fan myself as far as comics, but they tend to be superhero. But Tales of the Crypt, House of Mystery, those were big titles back before all that nonsense with the Comics Code Authority.
No, absolutely. And I mean, they literally, you always hear that phrase, they don't make them like they used to. And they don't. The artwork was vivid. It was very comic book, but it was also, it also made you use your imagination, and you got that horror sense out of it. Now, I mean, I take nothing away from the artists of today, because they're extremely talented, but it's almost too real, and your imagination can't, it doesn't force it to work to try and amp it up a more in the horror.
No, for sure. Especially with inking coming as far as it has, and special effects that they can do in the comics now, everything's right in front of your face. And that kind of mimics Hollywood as well. You know, those old horror movies, you know, there was a lot more to imagine than today's slasher. And comics seems to follow suit, especially in that. And a lot of those were really, really fun comics to read. And even some of them had, you know, like I was thinking the Crypt Keeper.
Mm-hmm.
He was very big host. He actually turned that into an HBO series for a while.
Exactly. I mean, the Crypt Keeper was, in my opinion, the original M. Night Shyamalan. He put a twist on every ending, and you're like, oh, that's how they got it. Eventually, you knew the twist was coming. You just didn't know how it was coming.
Right. Is there any particular book? I know you may mention a bunch of them. Is there any one specific issue that sticks out as a favorite?
Probably the original Creepshow, and because it was then turned into a movie.
Oh, yeah, Creepshow. I forgot about that. That was a movie.
It was, and the greatest thing is the movie actually followed the comic. It didn't take any literary license. It didn't try to add a little twist or make it just a little bit different than the comic. It was the comic just in live action form.
It was a straightforward action. Now, did they take story? I'm guessing they took stories right out of the comic since you said that. They just pick a handful or?
The entire comic. It was a comic book on the screen. It was every single one. It was the one where actually Stephen King starred and turned into like the grass monster, all the way to the end where the guy in his luxury apartment was taken over and consumed by bugs. Every story that was in that book was in that movie.
Wow. See, I didn't realize that was one specific issue, that, you know, that there was a one book. I always thought Creepshow was a straight, like an anthology series. But it was just one book that was put out, and they turned the whole thing into a movie.
Yeah, and then they obviously had the movies Creepshow 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't remember if they made a sixth one or not. And then obviously the comics ran in there. But that was the first issue, the first movie, matched word for word, picture for picture. Everything that was in the book looked exactly like what was in the movie.
Wow, that is completely unheard of.
Oh, and then there was that one story in there with Leslie Nielsen where he'd buried the two people up to their necks in sands and tied him in, drowned them, came back, then they did it to him, and he's screaming, "I can hold my breath a really long time."
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was great stuff.
Absolutely. So that's cool. See, I didn't realize that it was that directly of a tie-in. I knew Creepshow was a comic book, so that's cool. See, you learn something even on your own show. So is there anything you're following now in relation to horror? Because they're very big out there, and I...
They are, but it's become too saturated. I mean, I've read the Hack Slash. I did The Walking Dead for a little bit. If I was going to say one comic that I would definitely get behind, I'm a little biased because I know the creators, but it's The Living Corpse. Those guys are phenomenal storytellers and artists, and the guys who are making it are just genuinely great guys.
Well, that's awesome. Indie book, is it?
It is. It definitely is. I mean, they're usually there at Monster Mania, Chiller Theater, all that stuff, which Chiller Theater is going on right now.
Yeah.
But for the most part, too, I end up just going to old comic books and or comic shops, and I just try and hunt down all those old horror comics because they're fading away. Nobody's really collecting them. They're very few, I should say. But everybody's collecting those, you know, those key issues, those one of, now that the X-Men, Avengers, and everything else. Everybody's forgetting about that horror side. Even you look at the old war story side.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's so many. Everybody now is trying to figure out what comic book character is going to be the next big movie star. And that seems to be where investment is going. But for so many years, the horror comics were huge and such a big part of the comics. And there's so many of them out there, and or was so many of them out there, I should say. And now there's not. So we don't see a lot come through. I haven't seen a good, you know, real horror title like that come through from the, you know, the golden age, as it were, in a while. So it's got to be a difficult hunt for you.
It definitely is. I mean, I'll hit the smallest to the largest comic book shops, and I'll pour through dozens upon dozens of long boxes just to find this stuff. I have no problems doing it because I love that search, and then sometimes I find something that I've never seen or heard of before, so I then throw that in the collection and give that a try.
Very cool. Now, what's the gem of your collection currently? Can you pick just one?
Can, but it's not – I don't know if you'd call it horror, but probably
okay.
Of everything I own, regardless of the price tag, the thing that means the most to me is probably my Kiss comic number one, where they poured the blood into the red ink.
Oh, well, you have that.
I do. I absolutely have a very first printing, so I have their DNA hanging.
Yes, you absolutely would. That sounds like something John the Creature Cannon would have. That's absolutely awesome. So you mentioned it briefly. I know it's really, really popular right now. What's your take on The Walking Dead and the whole zombie phenomenon in comics and in pop culture?
This is where I'm going to get a lot of hate mail.
That's okay, because I'm probably with you.
Okay, so here's how I feel. I think The Walking Dead should never have happened. It would have been a great movie, but there's nothing in the series that can't be solved in an hour and a half long zombie film that hasn't been solved already. Zombies take over the world. They're trying to live and escape, maybe find a cure or something. I really don't care about their interaction with the rest of the human world.
Okay. I find the whole zombie thing overrated. I did go back and read some of The Walking Dead when the show came on because that was one of those rare gems that fooled everybody because nobody was reading The Walking Dead, regardless of what they tell you now. Nobody was reading
mm-hmm.
The Walking Dead before that show hit the air. And it's one of those comics. It's one of the few comics that's come out in the last 20 years or so that's actually worth any money right now. But I've never been a zombie guy. And like you said, the Night of the Living Dead, you're in and out in an hour and a half and the whole thing. So I can understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only real zombie films that I actually enjoyed for just pure entertainment values was, first off, Return of the Living Dead, and that's because I have a huge crush on Lena Quigley. So, yeah, that was a total crush moment in that movie. Then you have, what is it? I can't remember the gentleman's name, but from Italy, the zombie film where they actually drugged a tiger shark and then the zombie was fighting the shark underwater and it was a real shark. Like, just weird stuff like that. That's the only time I really get into the zombie films.
So Zombieland wasn't your cup of tea?
Well, in the aspect of Zombieland, Woody Harrelson and Bill Murray, that's all I cared about in that film.
Sorry, I just threw that one out there randomly.
No, totally cool.
Awesome. All right. So I think that pretty much covered everything I wanted to hit as far as Halloween and Zombie. I knew you were the guy to talk to, and you definitely I learned something here, so I'm excited.
Okay, I'm glad.
Anything else you'd like to chime in on Halloween and comic related to other than your hunt for clowns?
No, I think we pretty much hit a lot of it tonight.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, sir. It wouldn't have been Halloween without you. I miss our Friday night in gimmick chats on the other show, so I had to get you on this one as soon as I could.
No, I had a great time, and I appreciate you asking me, especially for Halloween.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely have to have you back on because you're quite the Renaissance man. You got a few other things going on that we haven't touched on, the whole magic thing.
Yeah, that I think that gets me in trouble with the paranormal thing too, but I'll save that for another time.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you for calling in, my friend. I very much appreciate it.
Absolutely, sir.
All right, and have a great Halloween. Go back to scaring them clowns.
Will do, you too. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. All right. That was John the Creature Cannon, professional wrestler, paranormal investigator, clown hunter, and oh so much more. Always a fun time talking to him. We're going to jump and take our next commercial break, and when I come back, we're going to do the Halloween Six Shooter.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromHolmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right. Welcome back to Mavericks Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Entertainment Network. This is our Halloween theme episode, so it's time for our Halloween themed six shooter. Six comics I think you should read. I already covered some of them earlier in the show, but I'll give you a quick rundown in case you decided to, for whatever reason, tune in halfway through the show. We've got, my first pick was Batman Haunted Night, a graphic novel collection from DC Comics. Number two was Three Stooges, Curse of the Franken-Stooge, a new one-shot put out by American Mythology Productions. And my third was 30 Days of Night, the horror graphic novel that spawned a movie franchise. My number four pick, I got to go back to Batman, and I know I'm a Batman guy, but, you know, when I was trying to think of stuff that was fun, this one just kept coming back to me and back to me, so I threw it on the list as the second Batman, but this one is Batman Red Rain. Batman versus Dracula, what else do I need to say? This book, I love this book, partially because when I was a kid, I had a Batman and a Dracula action figure, and the two of them just fought all the time. Because there's just something perfect about Batman fighting vampires. Obviously, the bat motif is strong on both of them. So when they did Batman Red Rain as an Elseworld title back in the 90s, I was all over it. Of course, it followed up with two more Batman and Dracula. It's a trilogy, but Red Rain is the one that stands out for me. That's the one I just loved. The other two were okay. But there was just something about Batman fighting Dracula that really, really struck a chord with me, and I enjoyed it very much as an adult, looking back on his childhood, so to speak. Number five in the six-shooter, counting down the mice, is a new book, and I threw this on there. I was back and forth. It's an all-ages title, but it's also probably a very popular title, The Haunted Mansion. This is a new Disney Kingdoms book that came out a couple months ago from Marvel, as part of their Disney Kingdoms line. I mentioned it before on the first episode of the show. This is the story of the Haunted Mansion itself. You've ridden the ride. If you're a fan of Disney World or the ride, this is an awesome comic. It's not overly scary. It's, you know, very much like the book. It's got some spooky, quote-unquote, moments, but it's mostly fun. If you've got a young reader who wants, you want to get them something fun for Halloween, Haunted Mansion is awesome. There's a lot. If you have a Disney fan, there are a lot of Easter eggs from the ride. A lot of the character ghosts appear in the book. There's a lot of Easter eggs from Disney parks and the Haunted Mansion in the book. And one of the reasons I put it on there, if you go to a Halloween Comic Fest event tomorrow, Haunted Mansion number one, you can get for free. A Disney Kingdoms book is being offered as part of Halloween Comic Fest, and it's Haunted Mansion number one. So you'll be able to check it out and possibly check it out for free. My sixth and final title for Halloween books that you should check out, this one's an independent book, and it's also a web comic. And I know it's kind of out there, but I had to throw it in there. I met the writer of this comic at Wizard World this past year, and struck up talking to him, and I really, really liked the guy. His name is Jason Diebel, and he does a book called Monster Haiku. And it's exactly as it sounds. It's an online comic strip that has been turned into a mini book, a graphic novel, so to speak, of collected strips, and it's called Monster Haiku, and it's exactly what it sounds like. They're haikus done with monsters. And as a dad, and he was a stay-at-home dad when he came up with the concept, a lot of the funny jokes in the book, you know, relate to
children. And it's funny how many times the children and monsters, you know, act very similarly. And I really, really enjoyed this book, and I bought it at the comic, and I read it all the time, and it's really funny. You know, it's, you know, the tagline is 8 monsters, 3 lines, 17 syllables, endless possibilities. And if you're interested in Monster Haiku, you can go to www.monsterhaiku.com and pick up the book. Possible you can get it ordered from your local comic distributor, but this one, it might be more direct if you go right to the website. It's a lot of fun. Funny monster jokes and strips. And that is my Halloween six shooter. 6 Halloween comics from all around. A little bit of horror, a little bit of fun, a little bit of superhero. Try whatever you can. just get out there and read some comics. There's a little bit of Halloween, everybody. And that is our six shooter. We've got a few minutes left in the show, and it looks like we have a caller on the line, and it appears to be a very good friend of the show, Magic Mike. Welcome back to the Comic Roundup.
What's going on, Maverick? How are you tonight?
I'm very good, sir. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm getting ready for, like you said, Halloween.
Yeah, it's coming. Are you a big Halloween guy?
I'm a big Halloween guy. You know, I love the... I love the festivities, but the best thing about Halloween as a grown-up is I get to watch the scary movies.
A big scary movie guy. What kind of scary movies are you into? Are you into the old-school horror or the new slasher films? What's up?
Well, I tell you what. When I tell you this quote from a famous movie, you'll definitely know. I guess we're all entitled to one good scare.
Okay.
The very first Halloween, John Carpenter.
Yes, that's a big one. I was a big fan of those movies. The Halloween movie, well, except for Season of the Witch. But the Michael Myers movie.
I agree, because it had nothing to do with Michael Myers. Matter of fact, they didn't want to have anything to do with that. They didn't want to really, you know, go through with it. If it had nothing to do with Michael Myers, but I guess Mustafa Cade agreed to it, and it was a weird movie. I seen it once in my life, and I never watched it again. But the reason why I brought up Halloween is because they made comic books. I have a couple of comic books that I bought in 2000 and 2001, and then I have a couple now from 2008 and 2009.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Myers, Jason, Freddy, they've all been done in comic book form time and time again. Evil Dead, you know, horror comics are a very big thing. Our previous caller mentioned there is an oversaturation in the market with all sorts of different kinds of, I think the zombie thing really kicked it off. The Walking Dead comics really brought horror to the main focus of comic books, and there seems to be more than ever. There's so many different kinds, and Halloween definitely is one that was out there a lot.
I was going to say the Halloween comic books were different because they actually had Laurie Strode being like the killer.
Yeah, they took some liberties with the story that they weren't necessarily going to do in the movie. And that's the fun thing about a lot of comics that continue. We're currently getting, I mentioned last week on the show, The Lost Boys from the 80s
right.
Is now a comic book miniseries, and it's a sequel. And they're able to do stuff that, you know, they couldn't in the movies or wouldn't in the movies for whatever reason.
Right. Like in Halloween, they had them do it after. Like, they had Tommy Doyle. In, like, one of the comic books, they had locked Tommy Doyle up in the in the Smith's Grove, because they, at one point, they thought it was Tommy Doyle doing the killings. And, you know, of course, those comic books right there are classics.
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta check out those comic books, guys. If you guys are interested in good horror comic books, the Halloween series is really good. And like Maverick was saying, there's so many other good horror movie, you know, comic books. But I love this time of the year. And of course, when we were kids, we not only get to watch, you know, Halloween movies and Trick or Treat, but Halloween Havoc, WCW, in the wrestling tie-in, if you will, Halloween Havoc was one of the best WCW pay-per-views that they've had.
I love Halloween Havoc. It's definitely one of my favorite pay-per-views every year. for the good and the bad. As much as I love the Halloween theme thing, they would often do those goofy vignettes or crazy matches that they just could get away with because it was Halloween. Definitely. I'm actually working. I was supposed to get it out yesterday because it was Throwback Wrestling Thursday on Maverick's blog, but I'm a little behind writing it because it keeps going off in different directions. But there's a couple Halloween-themed things that are coming out on the blog the next couple days in celebration of Halloween, and Halloween Havoc is going to be one of them.
How about the Yeti?
How about the Yeti?
You know, the big Yeti that came crashing through the thing? Or how about Brother Brudai butchering a friendship at Halloween
Havoc, right?
Well, 1994.
Back up on the Yeti for a second, because I've got a story for you, sir. At one point, there was discussion. A company I worked for, located out of Philadelphia, we were trying to come up with a crazy storyline because they wanted to build to a big match for me. And by happenstance, the promoter met the Yeti, who works in the New York boxing scene now, and he was doing some rental work for the New York boxing scene, and there was actually discussion for Maverick versus the Yeti and a rebirth of the Dungeon of Doom. I'm not kidding. There was going to be a rebirth of the Dungeon of Doom featuring the Yeti and some of my more prominent rivals. It never happened, and I'm really disappointed in that because I wanted to work the Yeti.
Well, that's funny that you brought that up. It's a good story. I mean, what they want you to do, wear the red and the yellow next to?
Well, yeah, right. If it is
only
a payday, I would have done it.
The saddest thing about Halloween Havoc 95 was that Hogan, that the Big Show, well, Paul White, the Giant, went off a cliff or whatever. He fell off the building.
That was one of the greatest moments in the world.
I still
want to
know how he did
everyone.
That.
Because the Giant survived falling off the roof of an auditorium, but still could not kick out of the leg drop. It just goes to show you can survive falling off a building and not even get wet.
I would like to know how the hell that happened. And that was almost the rebirth to the whole black Hulk Hogan. Hogan was black and he was wearing the black, and it was Halloween. I mean, they did one time. They did the stupidest, another stupid one too. And I know I don't want to, you know, get negative, but this was a negative one. You have the Halloween Phantom, and come on, you didn't know who it was with the mustache and the mask. Come on.
The minute he walked out, everybody, because we were poor folk, so we used to, and it's always more fun to watch those things in a group, but the whole room, the people that were watching the Halloween Havoc together, all at the same time went, "Here comes Rick Rude." It was the worst mask gimmick in the history of mask. Maybe Mr. America may have been worse, but...
Actually, one of the best, one of the weirdest Halloween Havocs, that I've ever seen was the time when Halloween Havoc lost its power, and the pay-per-view was still going on, but the live feed was lost. It was the Diamond Dallas Page, I believe it was DDP versus Goldberg.
Yeah, that, I remember that one. That was kind of nuts.
And if you guys want to check out Halloween Havoc, go to the network. It's on the network. I've been watching the old Halloween Havocs, gearing up for, like I said, Halloween and stuff like that. But you got to check out the Halloween Havocs. If you haven't seen it, guys, if you're wrestling fans, I'm sure you're the wrestling fans seen it, but if you're Halloween guys and you're listening to the show and you're like, what's Halloween Havoc? You'll love it. It's great. Great matches, great storylines, great everything. Scary stuff, and well, I alluded to this last week. I brought this up with the grave site, and they had a grave, and they had all the writers' names on it, and you had different graves and stuff. It was cool. It was good art stuff, and it was scary stuff, and especially when the Dungeon of Doom came out. The Zodiac and all those guys, Kamala, the Shark, those guys were scary, you know?
Yeah, they were. They were some big men.
So let me ask you a question. You asked me about my favorite movies. What are some of your favorite Halloween movies?
My favorite Halloween movies, I tend to... You know, Hocus Pocus, I know it's a cliche right now. I love that movie. It's so over the top. Definitely a favorite. I'm into a lot of the classics, Charlie Brown. I'm not a huge horror guy. The horror movies I do enjoy, Michael Myers, I'll watch those over and over again. Not so much a Jason fan. I do love the Universal Monster movies. I do watch a lot of those, especially when they're on Svengoolie. I don't know if you're familiar with Svengoolie's work.
No, I'm not.
Well, he is one of the last few horror hosts out there. We get him here on a local affiliate that carries his show. He's from Chicago, I think. I could be wrong. But he's an old-fashioned horror host, and he comes on late at night, and he hosts horror movies, and he's got the cheesy, scary... "quote unquote scary, cheesy, whatever it is."
Shows
a lot of the old Svengoolie.
Oh,
fun show.
See if I can
fun
get
show.
It on my computer.
Yeah, we get
so,
it on a
so
little.
That's what you like, to, you like
here.
To watch those kinds.
I like the older stuff. I'm not into the gore and the stuff like that. But I do like the old stuff, the Universal Monsters and some of the old scary movies. Halloween is just another reason for me to put on a mask and run around like a crazy person. So,
don't you wear the mask every day anyway?
This is how I'm making a living, brother. Dressing up in funny costumes
and
running around.
You gotta be in it to win it, man. You gotta stay with it, you know. But going back to the wrestling and Halloween, look at this old Saturday Night's Main Event when they had everybody dressing up in different costumes and stuff. I mean, they had a great time. It was about 1985.
Yeah, that one was one of my favorite ones. They had the Halloween contest in between the matches where they had Macho Man and Elizabeth and Piper and all those guys competing against the baby faces in like the pumpkin pass and bobbing for apples and stuff like that.
Yeah, I like that stuff. That stuff was pretty cool. And they had the pie eating contest at one time, and they did the pumpkin, and then they had Rowdy Piper. They had Rowdy Piper do a little segment about how mean he was to the kids.
Right, the trick or treaters. He was terrorizing.
You know the different when people talk about wrestling memories, Halloween is basically. Who wasn't Hulk Hogan for Halloween? Who wasn't Randy Savage? for Halloween. Actually, a friend of mine reminded me one year they had a Halloween party, and they had at a place that I used to work at, and they asked me to dress up, and I was like, I don't know, who should I be? And I seen a green robe, and I'm like, a green robe. I'm like, you know, it had like the fringe, you know, it was my grandmother's. And I was like, you know, if I got a blonde wig and some gold paint, I can go as Goldust. You know, and Goldust was just coming back at the time when he was in the audience with the signs about bringing Goldust back, and he did the whole
I was laughing at the memory, yeah, the when he was doing the He Will Return.
Yeah, He Will Return. He was like, you know, it was like a whole thing. And I was like, you know, I was copying the whole thing that he was doing. I was like, you know, it's a great idea. So I did it, and I went there. And some of the people thought I was a transvestite, and some of the people thought I was just wearing my grandmother's robe. And then some of the people were like, Goldust. But you know how I did it? Of course I did it in style, because I had the music, and we put the, you know, we had a DJ, and the DJ was my best friend, so I told him to hit the music. When he hit the music, I made the entrance.
One of the best theme songs ever.
And then the next year I went as Billy Gunn. And let me tell you something.
Oh,
to go as Billy Gunn. Wait, to tell your friends that you're going to do the New Age Outlaws, and everybody's I'd be like, I'm Billy Gunn, whatever, right? So I tell them who I'm going to be. I'm like, I'm going to be Billy Gunn. So I figured there'd be an X-Pac, a Triple H. There were 5 Billy Gunns there.
5 Billy Gunns at a Halloween party.
And a woman who was supposed to be China showed up, a woman supposed to be China. Showed up as Billy Gunn.
Wow, there you go.
And then of course,
Of
course, I was gonna say before you let me go, I was just gonna say one more thing. Of course, the DJ with the you didn't know, he listened to it and he heard that you
paid
your ass to call somebody, so he had to cut that part out. So it was kind of funny how he just queued that up, and then I heard the. I didn't hear the you didn't know. I just heard the regular music come out, and it was pretty, pretty funny. I won an award for that one too for a Halloween costume.
There you go. Very cool.
Hey, did you mention about tomorrow? You guys have something going on Ontario at Ontario Comics tomorrow.
I don't particularly have something going on. I did mention it earlier. I had a little bit of a break. Ontario Street, who is a sponsor here of the network, has a big Halloween Comic Fest event coming up.
Yeah, what I mean,
I
you
won't
guys,
be
I'm
there.
I'm in Philadelphia, right?
Yes. It's Halloween Comic Fest is actually all over, so even if you're not in Philadelphia, you go to the site, HalloweenComicFest.com. You can check out what local comic book stores are hosting events. On our end, Ontario Street, they sponsor the network. Rita Ragney is going to be there, Bay's daughter. She's a fantastic artist. I'm actually hoping to have her on the show, or at the very least do something for the show, some cool comic book art. She's going to be there. They've got the Black Beauty from the Green Hornet and a cosplay contest, it looks like, and, of course, all the free comics. So you should check out and see if there's one close by to you, sir.
Yeah, I'm gonna be doing that, you know. Rita is a very talented artist, and I've been seeing a lot of her work, and it's pretty cool. Matter of fact, Bill Apter told me that she made a caricature of him.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yep. So anyway, sir, I just want to let the listeners out there know that Maverick, you're doing a wonderful job, my man. Every Friday night, I get to call your show and talk to you about comics, about maybe a little wrestling, but mostly comics, because comics is what you're doing, and you're doing a great job.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You have a very happy – what are you going out this year? We've had Billy Gunn. We've had Gold Dust. What are you going out as this year?
No, I'm probably not doing – I haven't done that since years and years ago. The Gold Dust was like 1990, whenever, and then Billy Gunn was like 1990, whenever. It was like back to back. This year, I'm just laying it low key. I'm probably going to watch, like I said, scary movies. Maybe stand on the lawn and pretend I'm like a character or something and then scare someone. I don't know. Maybe walk down my street and pretend I'm John Cena and say, "You can't see me." I don't know, maybe something to that wacky, kooky ness that I have in my head, my sixth sense of humor. But thank you for having me again on the show. Next week, when I call the show, we can talk some Luke Cage. But I'll be calling Maverick. Thank you very much, my brother.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good week.
Okay, buddy, bye.
All right, happy trails to our good friend Magic Mike. Always a fun time talking to him, talking Halloween, a little bit of Halloween havoc because, you know, I used to put on tights and beat people up for fun. That is about all of the show I have for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I was all over the place in the beginning of the show, and I apologize. I'm not sure what happened there, but we found our groove. Every week the show gets a little better. We're up to 6, so I'm excited about that. Tune in next week. We've got a new segment that I am very excited about. A couple weeks ago, we heard my oldest daughter, Marie, on the show. Well, my youngest daughter, Megan, is going to be calling in. She is a great big fan of My Little Pony comics, and she's going to review some of the recent My Little Pony Friendship is Magic comic book series in a segment that we are going to call Megan's Pony Roundup. I don't have to explain it really, do I? You know why we're doing it. So Megan's Pony Roundup, and huge, huge announcement coming next week about a big holiday event that I am hosting and putting together. I almost spilled the beans this week about it, but I want to wait until all the pieces are together. But next week I am going to tell you about a big event planned for the holiday season. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope you get involved in it with me, and it becomes a really cool way to help people during the holiday season. So please tune in for that. I hope you all have a great Halloween. Go out there to Halloween Comic Fest. If you don't have a Halloween Comic Fest event in your area, go to the comic book stores anyway, because I already told you there's some really awesome comic books out there all ready for you. Or if you can't do that, get online, get some Halloween reading in there. And until we meet again, happy trails.